Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and I've been doing this now since 2018 for the second go-round after my 9 years, 3 hours a day doing the money game back in the early days, and it never changes. You know, the markets go up, the markets go down, and people get concerned about the markets, and the markets always end up doing the same thing. If you just are tuning in, I have a podcast, and the most recent show that I did was How to Handle Declining Markets, and I would encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com or go to any of your Apple Podcast or any of the Spotify, any of those, Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Did a whole show, and truly really kind of the show I told you so. Last time we had this happen was the pandemic. People said to me, that's different. It's the pandemic, and now it's, you know, tariffs. Tariffs. We ain't had that. You know, and I always look at it like, you know, it's happened over and over and over again, things that we never think would happen, like presidents getting assassinated and 9/11 and everything that goes along with it. And so my encouragement to you, if you're tuning in right now, is we stay the course and don't procrastinate. If you hadn't got your plan started, we're almost 4 months completed into the year, and if you don't have your financial plan in order, which is the most important part, which is getting something started, then you should be thinking that direction more than worrying about what the stock market's doing that you have no control over. The only control you have is you, and that is putting money aside into a good asset allocation. And so what we're going to do today is kind of start with let's stop making bad decisions. And I'm going to give you some things that you might want to think about, and then we're going to get into, you know, where should we put our money? Stocks, bonds, annuities, all this kind of stuff, with the idea that by the end of the show, you're going to have a plan that you could implement, and we would be happy to help you with that plan. That's what we do. We're a fiduciary and financial advisory firm, and you can always visit RoyMatlockJr.com and just set up a phone call to start. But here's the numbers. The average mistake that you make in your lifetime is going to cost you between $50,000 and $500,000 if you make any of these mistakes. And you say, how does it cost so much? I'll give you some examples. I had a lady one time that met with me, and she left her 401k actually at a college. She was a 403b, and she left it about 22 years ago in a fixed account. And that little mistake at that point, before we did something to correct it, was about $200,000. And that was just one little thing that goes on. And I can give you story after story after story, but typically between $50,000 and $500,000, when you factor in lost investment growth, debt accumulation, poor planning, and so on. So here's some things that the number one thing, if you're young right now, the most important thing you can do is start. And why is that? Because the rule of 72, or the rule of 72 says that if you take any interest rate, it tells you how many times your money would double if you divide it into the number 72. So if you're getting, you know, 9% in 8 years, your money will double. All right. So if you think about that, so every 8 years, if I'm working for, I'd have five compounding periods over a 40-year period. And the last compounding period is where the biggest lump sum you have doubles, but you missed it. So you only had four compounding periods rather than five. And so you missed 100% of your money because you didn't start early. So the first thing is that you got to start early. And what I tell people is this: set up an automatic draft on your checking account and fund your 401k. We'll talk more about that, but start it. I don't care if you put in $50 a month, $100 a month. You got to do something like that. And we actually have accounts that we've done this because mostly for people that, you know, they have children and they want to teach their kids what to do, to where they can set up $50 a month growth funds, and where it's set up to where it goes in like that. They can open it with $50 and add any amount of money to it themselves at any time if they want to add $20 to it. And then they get something set up on a draft, and that'll give you a starting point. So you don't start early. Second thing is you make poor decisions when it comes to debt. Never finance things that go down in value. Generally speaking, anything that is a declining product you purchase has high interest rates attached to it also. So a good example is you buy a car, new car, the car goes and drops in half, and you pay interest on the car you purchase. So let's think about this. Pay $40,000 for a car. It drops in value, and you pay with interest, you pay $55,000, all right, for something that at the end of the time is worth $20,000. All right. So wouldn't it make sense to just go buy the $20,000, save in advance, and pay cash for it? All right. And you know, what do you have to do that? I buy cars all the time. I buy nice cars. The last car I bought was $120,000, okay, when it was new, $119,000 new. And it had 21,000 miles, and I paid 56 for it. All right, so that's an example. So it doesn't mean you have to drive a piece of junk. You just don't pay 120 and drive it 20,000 miles, and it's worth 56. All right, so as you move up, you can do that. Another example of a mistake that I see, no emergency fund. Your emergency fund's rate of return is the fact that you don't cash in your 401k. You don't cash in your retirement plans. You don't go deeper in debt. So we get an emergency fund. We buy too much house. That's another one. Way too much. If you take and let a mortgage person sell you and a real estate agent sell you what you can qualify for, you will be broke. Because what it amounts to is you can be in debt. You can do this because, hey, a real estate agent, I know a lot of good realtors out there, so I'm not, but real estate agents, their job is to sell a house. The good ones will sell you one that you can afford, that you feel great about, and then what will happen is later down the line, you'll come back and buy another one from them. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Another thing I see is you're too aggressive or too conservative. Just like the person at the beginning of the show, I said, left it at basically a money market for all that time, too conservative. You get too aggressive and you get worried about it. And so that's an example that costs you a couple $100,000 for missed market opportunities or losses, whatever it may be. So these are things that we see on a regular basis. When I meet with someone or my advisors meet with someone, first thing we do is we do an analysis of where are you at right now? What are some things that are going in the wrong direction? And what we want to do is put a stop to the bad decisions that are costing you $50,000 to $500,000. And some of these you may be listening in. I gave you five of them. I got five more that we're going to talk about when we come back. If you would like to get a review, simple phone call, reach out to us, RoyMatlockJr.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and today we're talking to start the show out, the 10 common mistakes people make and how to you know, do something about it. And I've got some great downloads. If you go to RoyMatlockJr.com, I have a my best retirement workbook. I mean, it asks you a lot of questions. You print it off. It's a great resource. We also have a budget sheet, which is very important that you have to do. And I'm going to talk about the five mistakes and quickly how to fix those. And then we're going to go to five more. And then we're going to get into some investing knowledge. Not saving for retirement early. So step number one is this. I don't care what you do, get started. And how do you get started? If you are part of a 401k through your work, sign up for it. Don't wait. Sign up. Put something in. At least do your match if at all possible. If you don't have that, we will set your mutual fund account up for as little as $50 a month to help you get started. I mean, I feel like that, you know, the people that motivate me the most are the ones that I've got a client of mine that he's out in Smyrna and been a good friend of mine. Started out 1986, and he was living in a trailer, and I was brand new, you know, been in the business just a little while, and he had kids everywhere, and started a $25 a month mutual fund. $25, and back then we could do that, and ended up, when it was all said and done, he retired a number of years ago, house paid for, had about $800,000 saved, and lived a great life, but that's how you get started. Just get started doing something. It'll motivate you. If you have high interest credit card debt or personal loans, you need to get on a couple. The first step is you get a plan to spend less than you make, and the way you do that is you download our budget sheet. So you're actually spending less than you make. You also figure out what you can do to cut some cost. Always look at it this way. There's bound to be things I can cut some cost on. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to start paying off these credit cards. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to target, you know, the lowest balance credit card. That's going to be my first one. And I'm going to put all my extra money to that. I'm going to set up one of two ways of doing it. I'm going to set up an equal payment. Not a minimum payment, but set up an equal amount of money every month that applies to the credit card that you're trying to pay off, and then the minimum payments to the rest. Then you're going to do the next one, and you're going to do an equal payment. You ought to always set it up on a draft. And the reason you do that, if you don't and you pay the minimum payments, you'll never get out of debt. So that's an idea there. But most importantly, what you want to do is you want to get on a budget where you don't keep digging deeper. Don't have an emergency fund. Step number one goal is to put $100 a month away. You can do that in a money market mutual fund or have it moved to a savings account out of your checking account. Get yourself $1,000. And then once you get another $500 in there, throw it against a debt. And you can do that. Buying too much house. Sometimes you just need to say, you know, I messed up and I'm going to get rid of this problem and do something different. I had one of my reps that had bought, you know, did all that, bought a house. Good news is that it had some equity in it. Bad news was he didn't have enough money to pay for it really, and he was always stretched. And sold the house, paid off all of his debt, rented for a little while, saw his income go up because the stress went down, and about 2 years later, had $100,000 saved, and then from there was able to buy a house that they could afford. All right, invested too conservatively or too aggressively. If you have choices at your 401k, it's one of the best things that ever happened. If you're not managing it or have someone helping you, is something called a target date. You take your birth year, add 65 to it. And that's going to give you some proper asset allocation as you're moving along, getting started. So that's the first thing. We go to the next mistake I see is not taking advantage of employer match. I always tell people this. You know, your retirement plans through your work are bonuses. It's part of your comp plan. So, you know, if they have a matching fund of, say, you put in four and they match four, you put in three and they match three, whatever it is, it's free money. Most of them are vested immediately. So if you threw the three in and they matched your three, that's six. You put in three, you got six. That's 100% return. And you make it deductible. In most cases, I recommend deductible. Not all cases, but you do a deductible plan. Then what happens is you save about one. So now your 3 equals 7. All right. So now we put in $3. We got 7 right off the bat. I mean, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I need some change, and they said, give me $3, and they handed you back 7, you'd say, man, I like that deal. All right. Well, why aren't you doing it? All right. That's what we need to do. Always need to take advantage of that. And then what happens is then you add to the fact that, you know, you take that age plus 65, and now you know you're going in a good direction. That's easy money. Easy money. We do that kind of stuff. Then that tax deduction, you buy one, get one free. What's buy one, get one free? You take that tax savings, which if you're making whatever you're making and you whatever your tax savings is from banking a deductible match, you might throw it in a Roth. All right, and now you get that. That's your outside retirement plan. You do your matching on your inside retirement plan. And before you know it, you're moving along, paying excessive fees for financial products. You know, I see it all. I see it. I mean, that's why, you know, we're a fiduciary. And let me give you kind of an idea of what that means is I went out and decided I was going to be, for the sake of the Amazon of finance. And what's the Amazon of finance? That means that, you know, if you have an Amazon account right now, you can buy anything. If you have an account with Roy Matlock Jr. Advisory, guess what you can do? You can buy anything. Now, what do I mean by anything? Well, I have a mortgage license. I have a Series 65 fiduciary license. I have a Series 6, which is a mutual fund brokerage license. So that way, if someone's got a small account, they can do that. They can get annuities. We have a platform that has over 9,000 investment choices. I have an insurance license, life, health, PNC license. So what that means is that I'm licensed in everything, and we don't have one company. And so as a result, we're not tied to any one place. And so therefore, my job is to go match you up with products that help you reach your goals. And we look for low-cost, high-value products. How about that? Now, if you meet with someone that doesn't have that type of scenario, then they are going to sell you the products that they offer. So, for instance, I ran into someone just recently that was in their 40s, and they were sold a fixed indexed annuity. All right, well, a fixed indexed annuity, I cannot find a time that a fixed indexed annuity is something that a 40-year-old should get. All right, but if the person selling it only has an insurance license, that's their insurance product. Now, are fixed indexed annuities bad? No, they're not bad. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later today, but they're not for young people, all right? Failing to plan for taxes. You know, I see people get in trouble with taxes. They owe tax liabilities because they don't set aside money. They don't do the right deduction, or maybe they deduct too much, and they always get a tax refund, and then they blow the tax refund. So they loan the money to the government for a year and blow the tax refund. They don't have proper insurance. That's another one. Number 9, life disability insurance. Something happens to you. We buy insurance in order to protect against our, we protect our assets, we protect our income. And then lastly, get on a budget. I can assure you there's no amount of money that you can't spend. All we got to do is look at some of the disaster stories of lottery winners and professional athletes and movie stars and all the, you know, people like that, that what they did is they make stupid amounts of money and they spend it. And then they spend it and they think it's never going to end. And then one day they wake up and they're sad because they had the chance and they didn't take the chance. So here's what I would do. I would visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Schedule a 30-minute call. It's free. We will help you get your finances on track once and for all. Create an automated plan where one day you'll feel good and life will be good. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and hopefully you haven't jumped off a building due to the fact that you've made a number of these financial mistakes that we talk about. And good news about most of the mistakes is that if you finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're sick and tired of always worrying about your finances and your money and stuff like that, the fix is quicker, generally speaking, than it took to get into the mess that you were in. Because what's happening is, once you start going in the opposite direction, it's kind of like if you're in a car and I'm driving north 55 miles an hour and you're driving south, we're driving 110 miles an hour apart. And that's kind of what happens when you make the change. You stop that going north and you're only going south and you're moving in a positive direction. And you start moving way faster because you don't have somebody pulling on you. Meaning, or something pulling on you that's keeping you where you're at. So I always tell people that, you know, a couple things that, you know, kind of your mindset is when you're trying to build your financial mindset, the mindset is do nothing money. That's what you want to think about, do nothing money. And, you know, the first do nothing money is 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. That says you got 6 months that you could do nothing and you're going to be okay. And then what you do is you go from 3 to 6 months to having 5 years of do nothing. Once you get 5 years of do nothing money, meaning you can live your lifestyle like you're living, it gives you options. So if you wanted to make a career change, you could say, hey, I got 5 years set aside right now. Based on where my current lifestyle is, I can do that. Or then one day you have 10 years and you say, wow, you know, I could take a breather right now. If I wanted to take 3 months off right now with no income, I've got almost nine and a half years left before I'd run out of money. And you say, well, how do you get there? Well, what you do is you get a plan. And then one day you wake up and you say, how much do nothing money do I have? Got do nothing money forever and beyond. All right, that's do nothing money. And do nothing money means your money's working for you. It means that you're making money while you sleep. That means your money is compounding 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not when the market is up. That's just when it's calculated. What you're seeing is your money is growing. Because, you know, one of the things my dad used to tell me, he says, you know why you got to make money while you sleep? He says, because you're spending money while you sleep. That electric bill is still running, and that insurance on your car is still being paid, and it's being paid for 24 hours a day. The insurance on your house, all the different things that you end up doing is running pretty much 24 hours a day. So you got to figure out a way to make money 24 hours a day. And the way you do that, you get your investment income working for you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to roll into investing smart, stock, bonds, annuities, you know, money markets. What do? So four areas of diversification when you're investing your money. So now what's happened is you've decided, all right, I'm convinced, I'm sick and tired of being making bad decisions. I'm going to get serious about my money. I'm going to start putting things aside. And we're going to talk about which place you should go, what portion you should go, and then how to get it going. So we got money market funds. Money markets are liquid cash. There's for emergency funds. You keep a portion of your money and things like that as an investment model to take advantage of downside markets. I've had people, and I want to compliment my listeners out here, many of which are my clients. In the last several weeks, I've had more phone calls saying, hey, I got some cash. You think it's a good time to invest? And, you know, prior to having clients that were very educated. The typical advisor is dealing with phone calls saying, what should I do? Should I get out? Should I do this? Should I do that? I was on the golf course with a friend of mine, and he said, how's it been the last few weeks with the markets being squirrely? I said, you know, it's been great. I said, my biggest problem is people are calling me up. They're wanting to give me money. And I'm like, hold on, hold your horses. It may go down a little bit more, but what we'll do is we'll ease it in, because I don't know what the market's going to do short term. I just know that over the long haul, it's going to do good. And so people ask me, so what should I do right now? So, well, you know, if you want to speculate, you throw it all in now or you don't. If you want to invest, we bring it in over a period of time. And that way, if the market goes down, we're buying a little more. If it goes up, we're buying a little less. It's called dollar cost averaging. That's what I usually revert to. And that way, we don't have to worry about it. But the bottom line is that's what money markets are for. I would encourage you to have a portion of your money should be in something like that, where you can always be easing in, that kind of thing. Then we have bond funds. Bonds are debt securities. You can either be a loaner or an owner. If you loan money out, you loan it to the bank. That's a bank account. They borrow it from you at a percentage, and then they loan it back out to someone else at a higher percentage, and they make the spread. And that's what a loan is. We loan it to a savings account. We loan it to a CD. We loan it to a money market. That's really what it is. We also loan it to, you know, bonds or loans. That's where bigger companies will go out and borrow money from the public, and you get your money back plus an interest rate, provided the company is, you know, solvent. And so what happens is they tend to be more conservative. Then we have stock funds. That's where you're buying the bank rather than buying loaning money to the bank. You're buying stock in the bank, and the bank borrows money at a low rate, loans it out at a higher rate, makes a spread, and then the company gets bigger, and that's what a stock is. So we're an owner, and I always tell people long-term, we become an owner, not a loaner. So what we want to do, but on the short-term, we become a loaner, not an owner. So we have short-term money for loaning out, which is more conservative. Annuities fall in the category of, I call it in some cases, like a better bond. So what an annuity has is some downside protection, but it also has some upside and some principal protection, but some upside as well. And so what we do, we say, well, let's look at it. So what is the rule, or kind of the way you look at this? What we're going to do is have a diversified portfolio. So if we get older, I'm going to tell you exactly where I tell people when they're older and what they should do and how they implement it. But stocks are growth with risk, high long-term upside potential, liquidity and flexibility. It has ownerships in companies, and it's the easiest way to do it is through professional money managers like mutual funds or ETFs manage money. And that way you can have some professional managers picking, and you know, the ones that you want to go into. The downside is you've got to deal with the market volatility. Markets go wide range. You know, we've seen fluctuation. It's okay if you don't need it and you've got a long-term picture. So we want to make sure that that's the case. Retirees need to be careful about sequence of returns risk. What that means is if you retire and you've got too much in the market and you're having to pull from it, and then you see the market pull back, you got to sell more in order to get your income. And then that can be very damaging to your long-term lifetime income. No guarantees when you're in the market, and emotional investing tends to lead to poor timing. So what we do is we say, well, that sounds like nobody should get stocks. No, you should, because long-term, what? You know, they have proven to be a great performer. You have the ability to outpace inflation historically. And so what we do is we say, well, growth with risk, all right? And that growth with risk, we're going to couple that with some other things, all right? So just think in terms of, you know, short-term, we're going to loan. Long-term, we're going to own. That's the way it works. And you typically, over the long haul, if you become an owner rather than a loaner, you will make more money, all right? So let's talk about what you should be doing. You should be getting started. Stop procrastinating. We're 4 months into the year. If you're not on your game, give us a call, at roymatlockjr.com. Schedule a short phone call. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and, you know, we started out, you know, I call it the pain points, and, you know, my intention when I talk about pain points and mistakes is not to discourage, but to encourage you to take charge of your finances. And that's what we do. One of the things that we also do, I have a company. I believe that if you really want to do something, you go find a broad problem. If you want to, this is how you make money. And when you make money, the key to making money, if you have a growing income, is just to live on 50% of your income, and then you can take and pay your taxes and then put the rest of it into investments, and then one day you get bulletproof because you got a great business and you also have savings set aside that will pay you income. But one of the things that we do is we go out and we expand our process. We're moving all over the country. We have reps pretty much coast to coast now, but we have a referral partner program. If you've considered a career change, or you just like learning about money and would like to learn about it from the inside of a financial advisory firm, we have a referral partner program, and you can visit roymatlockjr.com where you could, you know, learn the financial business from the inside, make some extra money, maybe make a career change. But you can go in there and just look for that on the website, become a licensed referral partner. So what we're going to do now is finish up our segment. I've got about 10 minutes left to talk about. You know, we talked about stocks, growth, and risk, and now let's talk about bond stability with lower returns. So a bond is a debt security. Businesses borrow money to expand. They intend on borrowing that money, paying the interest back, and money left over is for profit. So I always tell people, if you're going to borrow money, always borrow money on things that have the potential for appreciation. What would be, you know, you borrow money on a house, goes up, that's one thing. Or you borrow money on a business, all right? And, you know, if you're smart with your with debt, you can leverage yourself to get better returns, but at the same time, always be in a position to where you're not, you know, worried about being able to pay it. What is good debt? Good debt is you can pay it, and it's tied to something that goes up in value, and that's what bonds are. Companies will, but then companies get in trouble. And they then become what's called junk bonds because they're not as financially stable to be able to pay the interest on it. But bonds are there for a reason. Stability with lower return. You get income off of bonds. It's less volatile generally than stocks. If we go over the last nine downturn years, the bond market did not go down the years the stock market went down. And so five out of the nine, it didn't. So you're going to have a better chance of having a little bit more capital preservation with bonds and your stocks. It's part of a diversification profile. So that's the positive. The negative is you're going to get lower long-term returns than the stock market historically. Inflation can kick in, and maybe you're not getting a real return. Bonds pay interest. Stocks are growth. How do stocks maintain inflation? Well, I'll give you an example. I get up and go to Starbucks in the morning, and year and a half ago, it was $2.60 for the same cup of coffee that I'm paying $3.30 for. So Starbucks said, hey, costs are up, so we're going to raise prices and to maintain our spread for the sake of it. And so you lose buying power. Interest rate risk, if bonds have fluctuations. Think of this, a seesaw. If rates go up, bonds go down. Rates go down, bonds go up. Right now, you know, we have higher interest rates than we did. And so bonds today, the potential, if Trump has it his way, the bond interest rates are going to go down. If they do, bonds will go up in value. They could go up, though, and you could lose value of the bonds. And they can be a little bit complex if you're buying individual bonds. That's why, you know, I don't recommend, for the most part, individual bonds unless you're pretty astute and understand. And you get somebody helping you. It's not like we can't do that. But bond funds tend to diversify. You'll get into a bond fund, and they'll have thousands and thousands of bonds with different expiration dates and stuff like that. Then we go into annuities. An annuity, think of an annuity as income and guarantees. Another way to look at it, it's putting some insurance on your retirement plan. Most of the time, I'll have two types of annuity purchasers. I have one that has money they don't need, and they can be in their 40s or in their 50s, but we don't do fixed annuities. We do long-term, like, annuities that have more upside potential because they don't need the money and they're making money. So the idea is never pay taxes on money you're not using. So if we can put it into something that has some tax deferral to it, then that's an opportunity for us to do something. We have other options like insurance products, like a variable life insurance is an example, where you can put money in, grow tax deferred, but then they have some ways to get it out tax-free, and you get the growth on it. But the idea is that annuities provide income guarantees and tax deferral. That's the way we do it. So guarantees, fixed or a fixed indexed annuity, a principal guarantee. So if the market goes down, you don't go down. Those type of accounts either pay interest, similar to a bank with tax-deferred growth, or they have what's called a fixed indexed annuity, has indexes it follows, and you get a piece of the upside with a cap and a participation rate. So if you have a 10-point cap and 100% participation and the market's up 10, you get 10. If it's up 5, you get 5. But if it's up 20, you get 10, and you have no downside to it. So that would be an idea there. The idea behind those products are to put some stability in it. We also have lifetime income guarantees that come along with annuities. So that's designed to protect against longevity risk. That means that you're like my mom. You are lucky enough to be 101, getting ready to be 102. And you ran out of money, though, when you're 85. That's not good. So we don't want to have that happen. So what we want to do is have something in place that's going to pay us forever, and annuities give lifetime income guarantees as well. So what you need to think about on annuities, mostly a retirement product, or if you're high net worth and you have money you don't need that you would otherwise be paying taxes on, you can tax defer it. But the most part, annuities are designed as a bond alternative in many cases, so you can get some earnings on it without any market fluctuations. You can use it as a guaranteed lifetime income. You got something that's more conservative, and you get tax deferred growth. So that is an annuity. The cons, you're buying a contract. What is a contract? Some annuities have a 10-year contract where if you come out early, you pay a surrender charge. So you want to make sure whatever you're doing, you know what you're getting involved in. A variable annuity, as an example, will be more fee intensive than just having a investment, all right? The difference being is variable annuities give you tax deferred growth, all right? They give you lifetime income guarantees. So you say to yourself, well, is that worth paying a little extra for? Yeah, maybe. Or maybe you do it without the lifetime income guarantee, so the fees aren't quite as bad. Little complex. You ask people many times, they don't really understand it. And so you want to know what you're getting into. So what are the different annuities you have? You have a fixed, you have fixed indexed, you have a variable annuity. And a fixed annuity is like it is. It's fixed. You may go in and buy a fixed annuity. They compete with a CD with tax deferral. So you put your money in there. Now, keep in mind, annuities have another negative, and that is if you're prior to 59 and a half and you pull it out, you pay a penalty just like an IRA. But the good news is you can also put it in, leave it there forever. And I run into people a lot of times that they've planned well, they've done well, and they say, you know, I'm never going to use this money. I'm just going to give it to my kids. Not too long, several years ago, I had a client of mine, been around for a long time. She's since passed away. And we did $200,000 in a variable annuity we knew she'd never need. It grew to $900,000, never paid any taxes on it. And then it went to the two heirs, and they were able to take that over their life expectancy and continue to defer some of those taxes. So that would be an example of an annuity. There's a thing called a RILA. A RILA is some downside protection. So, for instance, you may sign up for one that's 6 years, and here's their deal. They say, we'll give you 20% protection. So if in the period of 6 years, if the market's down, S&P maybe is down 20% or less, they'll make up your principal, and then they'll give you an upside that might be up to 100% gain, or some of them are even more than that. So, and it's tax deferred, and at the end of 6 years, you can change it again. You can go from one annuity to another as you get older. So if you start out with one that's more of a growth style annuity and it comes up, you do what's called a 1035 and you move from that to the next one, and then you end up being able to continue to defer it. But you may go from a variable to a fixed, whatever it may be. So what do you do when it's all said and done? What I tell people is this: we have buckets of money. If we're young getting started, our buckets are going to include our retirement plans at work, Roth IRAs, mostly growth funds, money market funds. We may buy an insurance product that's got, you know, some growth as an additional retirement plan. If we go into the midlife accumulator, we're going to do all the same things with the exception. Now we may have some extra money that we go into variable annuities, and we do things like that. That allows us to continue to grow tax-deferred money. When we're retired, the stock and bond funds and money market funds become more a part of it. And we look at some lifetime income guaranteed type, you know, maybe fixed indexed annuity, something of that nature. And so we might look at a healthcare annuity, and that protects against things that, you know, like a long-term care stay. So what's happening is products match stages in life. So what I try to do is create buckets. We have buckets of money for the short term, the midterm, the long term. We have buckets of money based on taxation. And then when we put it all together, we buy some defensive products that would be protecting against, you know, emergencies and, you know, protecting our assets and our income, you know, life, disability, you know, health, you know, liability insurance, all that kind of stuff. Then we go on the offense. We buy things that retirement plans, we plan for college, we do all those kind of things in order to put ourselves in a position to have a solid financial plan. Typically, if I work with someone or any of our guys do, we come up with a budget, we take a look at where you're at, and we put together a plan. And when we put that plan together, we come up with a budget, and then we automate your financial independence. And what I mean by that is what can you put aside based on your budget? $1,500. Here's where it's going. $1,500 a month. This is going here. This is going here. This is going here. If you'd like help, reach out to RoyMatlockJr.com. Schedule a 30-minute phone call. We'd be happy to work with you. Thanks for listening.